Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and welcome to episode number 18 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, the podcast designed to help smart business owners with an interest in innovation and the Internet of Things become even more innovative. Now, today's episode features my guest, Judy Robinette, who is the author of How to Be a Power Connector, and herself a power connector of the highest order. In fact, prior to recording the interview today, when we were just chatting, she asked me two questions. She said, where are you at and where do you want to go? And then immediately identified a number of people who she would connect me with who could help me get to where I was wanting to go. So that is how she operates, and she is indeed a very inspiring person. So we talked today a lot about networking, about being in the right room, about creating your own luck. She mentioned a whole lot of books that are well worth reading, with a whole lot of valuable lessons around networking and around innovation, and a whole lot of other cool things, including even mountain biking. Yes, Judy is a mountain biker. This is a high energy interview with an inspiring lady, so strap yourself in and enjoy this episode. Now, as always, the podcast is sponsored by InnovaBiz, where we help smart business owners, innovative business owners, save time and money and grow their business by making their websites achieve more. Of course, at InnovaBiz, and there's my cuckoo clock, we do a lot more than just build websites. We provide solutions to our clients' needs by leveraging the power of the internet in innovative ways. We call it web power. If you want to learn more, then visit our website at www.innovabiz, that's innovabiz.com.au. In fact, if you're ready to find out how our magic can help you, then apply for one of our website accelerator sessions by going to innovabiz.com.au/WAC. Now, before we meet Judy, a quick competition announcement. Today's prize is a copy of Judy's book, How to Be a Power Connector. In fact, Judy has very generously donated 5 copies of her book, so stick around for details on how you can enter the competition to win that prize later on in the interview. So let's now go into the Innovation Hive and get the buzz from Judy Robinette.
This is the InnovaBuzz podcast, helping smart businesses be even more innovative.
Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to have with me today on today's podcast another wonderful guest, and that's Judy Robinette. And I believe you're in, Utah you're from, right? But where
yes,
are you right
yes.
now?
Yeah, right now I'm in Idaho.
Idaho, okay. So all the way from Idaho in the USA, Judy Robinette. Now, Judy's an author and a power networker, and we'll hear a lot more about that. So welcome to the podcast, Judy.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. It's a real privilege to have so many wonderful people sharing their time with us on this podcast. I really appreciate it. Now, Judy's known as the woman with the titanium digital Rolodex, so we're fascinated to hear about that. I'm sure that's all about power networking. She's been profiled in Forbes, in Huffington Post, and a whole lot of high-profile magazines, Bloomberg Business Week, just to name a few. She's cited as an example of one of the new breed of super connectors, and she's already in the introduction here. She's already identified a number of people she wants to connect me with, which is fabulous. Now, she's also got vast experience in the entrepreneurial world. She's been CEO of several companies. She's an expert in getting financing for startup ventures and other venture capital. And of course, she's a power networker. So it's going to be really exciting to talk to her today. Now, before we talk about networking and all the things that Judy's been up to, Judy's very kindly offered to donate a copy of her book today as the prize. So that's a book on power networking called How to Be a Power Networker. And it talks about the 5-50-100 rule, which I'm sure we'll hear more about. She explains in that book how to combine specific skills that you have and talents that you have with a clear and workable strategic way to do networking so that you can tap into a power grid of influence, as she calls it. So stay tuned later on in the interview for how you can enter the draw to win that prize. Now, Judy, before we talk about networking and all that kind of thing, let's go back to when you were a child. Were you always somebody that liked to connect people? What were your goals and ambitions?
Oh my gosh. So I grew up in this small town, Franklin, Idaho, at the time had 300 people. I was so shy. I was bullied in junior high. It still, you know, kind of makes me wince when I think about it. But
yeah.
I didn't know anybody of wealth, power, influence. And even if I would, I wouldn't have dared ask them anything. And research, I just learned, shows that if you're raised lower to middle class, you're taught, you know, keep your head down, get a great job, work hard, and people will notice. Well, that's a fairy tale. And I learned that the hard way. So no, very shy. When I finally started telling people when I turned about age 38 that I was shy, they laughed at me. And I had to rethink my assumptions. And research shows half of the people in the world identify as shy. But if a psychiatrist interviews them, it's only about 10%. So they were like me. It's like, oh my gosh, what could I possibly have to offer? You know, I don't have any self-worth. And so I fit that category. And it's amazing how many people come up to me and say that. And so, no, I'm the last person on the planet you would have ever thought would write a book on strategic networking. But I learned the lessons kind of the hard way. And it turned out it was so simple and so important for your success. I decided I had to write a book.
Yeah. Yeah. So when did you get to the point where, you know, you realized that you were doing some things and it was kind of all a strategic pathway?
Well, you know, probably in my 40s. So when I got brave and started talking to people, I found out, geez, most people did like me and most people will help you if you ask. And, you know, I just slowly started taking baby steps and started taking risk. And I found out that, you know, all around us, everything we need is here. There is no lack of resources. There's 7 billion people on the planet. Credit Suisse projects by 2019, the private global wealth is going to be $369 trillion. And, you know, countless opportunities, so much information, it's doubling every 6 months. Those are the building blocks to achieve anything that you need.
Yeah.
And when I kind of figured that out is when I went, you know, this is a lot simpler. And I remember being shocked when I met my first millionaire and then being shocked when I met my first billionaire. And what happened, I just took a few risks and found out that, you know, everybody has got problems. Everybody needs help at one level or another. And we all have gifts. And so, you know, you just be a little scrappy and discover how you can create value for someone and you're home free.
Hmm. Yeah, that's fabulous advice. I mean, there's a whole lot of gems in that. I like you saying, you know, you took some risks and then you started to see things happening and recognizing opportunities. I've recently met a chap here who, his name's Tom O'Toole. He started up the Beechworth Bakery, which now runs 4 different bakeries. He's actually spends most of his time speaking. He's a very inspirational guy. And one of the things he says is, everything you want is just outside your comfort zone. So he basically says you need to
absolutely
take some risks.
Absolutely. So, you know, everything is attached to another human being. They write the checks, you know, they have the funding, they know about the job opportunities. Everything's attached to another human being. And research for years has shown that your network equals your net worth. And so it's just incredible that you get out of your comfort zone. And I recently learned, and if I would have known this when I was younger, it would have been so helpful, that in Hebrew, there's 2 words for fear. And number one is that gut-wrenching, you know, fight or flight, your adrenaline's, you know, revved up. You know, this is when I head to a cave with dark chocolate. And the second one is the good fear, when you're starting to assume your power to get to a new level. And that's always a little bit fearful. But if I would have known there was good fear versus bad fear, that would have helped me. And, you know, how startling, you know, I'd been taught to, you know, make everybody else rich, you know, get a job and work hard, keep your head down. And it was so startling to me to start running around with people of significant wealth and to find out they're around everywhere. But I was stuck in this little box.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it, when sort of that light goes on. So
yeah.
Tell us a little bit then about, you know, the five 50-100 rule and the strategic sort of patterns that you identify in the book?
So, you know, I found Dunford's Law, which says groups fall apart at 150. So even Roman armies were grouped in groups of less than 150. And so that's kind of the upper limit. And then research shows that we surround ourselves with family and friends, and that's roughly 5 to 15 is that next orbit. And I determine, and those people give you love and support capital. But that next layer out, kind of 25 to 50, are quality relationships. And if you have that group as diverse and wide, people that exhibit, number one, warmth, because you don't want sociopaths or narcissistic, you know, me, got you.
Yeah, yeah.
And number two, a level of competence. And then I add number three, generosity, because just because people can help you doesn't mean they will.
That's right. Yeah.
And so if you find really good people and you get 25 to 50 quality relationships, you can make anything happy. So it's really fruitless to have, you know, you can have a gazillion people on Facebook or LinkedIn, but how many of those people will truly help you? And I used to say I'd only have people in my network that had a good head and a good heart and a good gut. And I finally boiled it down to, is this person an Oprah or Martha Stewart? Now, they're both billionaires. They're really good at what they do.
Yeah.
But if I had to trust one with my back and my future, it's Oprah. That's what my values are. So I say, you know, make sure that people will be warm, that they have a level of competency, they can and will help you, and they share your values. And just 25 to 50 people. And it really is magical. And one of the secrets that I teach people, probably the most important thing for you to remember, is I call it the two golden questions. So you meet people and you tell them your story, say, this is where I'm going, what my goals are, what my obstacles are. Then question one, what other ideas do you have for me?
Hmm.
Question two, who else do you know I should talk to? And if you repeat that with the next person, they tell you, you know, pretty soon you're like me, you're surrounded with celebrities and, you know, billionaires, and you're wondering, you know, how did this happen? And it's happened because you were brave. You kind of let people know where you are. And then you've asked for some advice or some ideas. And it's startling. You know, I must tell you, people will meet with me and they'll say, well, for example, my book agent last year called me and she said, I want you to meet Mike Muni. He is the co-founder of Axe Software, father of the CRM kind of world, built and sold that company for $48 million. Now he has one of the top apps for contacts and connecting.
Yeah.
And you guys could probably do something together. So he flies to Salt Lake, we meet, and I said, you know, Mike, this is brilliant. You're rated number one, but I've never heard of you. What on earth are you doing for marketing? And he told me, and then he seemed really sad, and he said, ah, if I could just get an article in Success Magazine. I said, Mike, when you go home, I want you to pick up the phone, call Wendy, my agent that I've known for 6 months, who you've known for 6 years. One of her friends is Darren Hardy, the owner and publisher of Success Magazine. And he literally almost fell out of his chair. And this happens every week. Hmm. So most of us don't even, you know, communicate with the network we already have. And I tell people how critical it is. Just get post-it notes, do mind map, and get down who you already have. Meet with some of those people, share where you're at, where you're going, and ask. What other ideas do you have for me? Who else do you know I should talk to? And just watch the magic happen.
Yeah.
And you know, if folks are listening to this, write and tell me. I love to hear the stories because it's always startling to people.
Yeah. Well, that's great, Judy. And there's a competition hint already. So, yeah, I saw a mind map that you drew, and I'm sort of a big fan of mind mapping, so I kind of was attracted to it straight away. But it was fascinating because you actually drew out a connection to one person who you had a relationship with, who was a friend of somebody else, and then it just built on that. And you had you know, a Nobel Prize winner in that chain that you got connected to. You had a photo of you with Gina Davis having lunch, so it was really fascinating.
Yeah, and you know, I moved to Salt Lake. I didn't really know anybody in Salt Lake, and so I tracked from the first person I met out to where I'd gotten to. And the first, it took about 10 people. You know, someone introduced me to someone, and then someone said, you know, you ought to think about joining this group. And the person who suggested I join the group is kind of a well-known connector. But I went to that group, and then I realized the power of being in the right room. And I'll tell you frankly that 95% of the networking events you go to are a waste of time. Charlie Munger, who's Warren Buffett's business partner, said out of 100 people he meets, 5 are keepers, 20 he doesn't care to see again as long as he lives, and the 75 others are opt-in, let's wait and see. But I decided, you know, you can really stack the deck by joining the right kind of organization, which is in the right room. And my basic formula is quality relationships plus strategy to a specific outcome. So you have to think about, where are the people that you need hanging out? And it turns out, you know, I help people raise millions of dollars. And all the people with money, their big problem is they're looking for a deal. And this other group, they don't think there's any money out there. Well, last year I had a guy call me with $1 billion looking to invest. You know, trust me, there's people who need you, want you. And where do these people hang out? They hang out at the incubators, at pitch events, because they're looking for a deal that's already been vetted. So absolutely critical to get in the right room. And just a short story, in Salt Lake, I was introduced to an individual who'd been recruited to a top wealth management firm. And he came to town, he's black and he's gay. He's not the typical Salt Lake City, you know, Mormon, white conservative guy. And within 2 years, he had built this significant book of business. And I said to him, how did you do this? You know, you show up from back east, you don't know anybody. And he said, I joined the symphony. So he got tickets before the event and went and was able to kind of hobnob, talk with the people of influence, power, and money. And he said to me, that's where all my clients were. And so, you know, it was a way to kind of connect the dots through an organization. And, you know, many people go to the same type of networking events, but I have people look at like the Association of Corporate Growth, which has existed since the 1950s. They're global. They have CXO leaders that are diverse across different industries, and they have built-in networking at lunchtime, and they do it structured. So even if you're shy, you don't feel uncomfortable being there. If you're from outside the city of New York, you can join the Harvard Club or the Yale Club for about $800 a month. If you ever come to the US and you want to have a hotel room kind of on the cheap in Midtown. And last time I was there, I ran into Timothy Geithner. So, you know, just a little thinking about getting in the right room. And, you know, I didn't know these places existed.
Yeah, I think that's, I was reading some of the background on you and some of the information that you've published and listening to some of your talks, and I thought that one piece of advice, getting in the right room, getting in the right, is just magic. And a lot of the networking advice that's out there kind of ignores that. It, you know, it talks about how to work a room and how do you quickly engage with somebody. How, you know, if you, there is some advice around how do you disengage if you feel that, you know, either you can't add value to them or vice versa. So how do you disengage and move on? But it doesn't really talk about, you know, are you in the right place? You know, you might be wasting your time completely because you're in the wrong place. They're all, you know, totally unrelated to the audience that you need to be talking to.
And you know, I'm 61. So when I was younger in the corporate world, you know, I'm working as hard as I can. And I read this quote, if you always do what you always did, you always get what you always got. And I thought, what do I need to do different? I was puzzled. And, you know, I needed to get out of my comfort zone like your friend taught you. And I didn't know where to go. One of the things that I did in Salt Lake is I volunteered to be on a finance committee for a political race. That's where I met my first two billionaires out of Park City, Utah. And Rosie Rios, who's the United States treasurer, I met at a group event. And she always says, like a lot of other people, follow the money. You know, follow the money. Where do those people hang out? I volunteered once for a not-for-profit called United Way just so I could pick up some budget skills because I'd never studied accounting. And so you can volunteer, you can, you know, learn about those, and they're very helpful, you know, very helpful. And you're right, so I met Myron Scholes, Black Scholes formula, Nobel Prize winner, through that one person. Another person, Heidi Rosen, a partner at Draper VC, one of the best known VCs in the world. Leslie Jane Seymour, the publisher of Moore Magazine. So that was the right room.
Yeah, that's great. So if somebody meets you for the first time, what, and they asked you, what do you do, Judy? What, How do you describe what you do in one sentence?
You know, I usually just say I love to make things happen. I mean, at the core, I'm kind of a teacher. I love to teach, but I literally love to make things happen. If people can tell me this is where I want to get to, I can get them there. Just like before when we started talking, before we, you know, you hit record, I said, you know, where are you going? What are your goals? Because I love to hear that, because I really like creating immediate value. And you can do that easily. You can share information. One of the most powerful is to make an introduction to someone. And that's a very core, that's the currency of this whole new relationship era. And people are sick of the old school networking. You know, when my agent suggested I do a book on networking, I said, not me. You know, I hate the word. I think it's icky, manipulative. I'm not going to do it. And most people, I think we're moving into the age now that people want to know you like you trust you, and they're looking for long-term relationships. And, you know, just 25 to 50 is really all you need.
Yeah. All right, that's great. So what do you spend most of your time doing now then? When you've got a book you're running?
Well, since my book came out, I've spent a lot of time, you know, doing media interviews. I love being interviewed. I love giving speeches. I've just started giving speeches. And now I'm thinking about book two. I mean, much to my surprise, people started writing and saying, wow, that book was great. When are you going to do book two? And it's like, oh no, do I want to do this again? But so I spend a lot of time, but, I'm also developing a short, it's an 8-week, training program. It'll be on webinars on how to get funded, because day in and day out, people are writing to me and I can't do everybody that reaches out, but I've, you know, I've spent 15 years. I sit on venture capital boards. I'm an advisor to Springboard. We've raised $6.6 billion, had 11 IPOs and 145 strategic sales. So I serve on several boards. I serve on a couple of private company boards to help them grow their business. You know, I write a fair amount.
Yeah. So sounds like you're really busy. And I know we were talking before we started recording that, you like biking, so
yep got the exercise clothes on, and I like to bike, love to hike, go to the mountains, and I love to garden. But I'm also, you know, I read recently that if you really want to understand human behavior, you need to study the Bible or learn Shakespeare. And I found this great little book called how to teach your children Shakespeare, and I'm actually having fun learning it.
Okay. Yeah, it's been a little while since I read Shakespeare, but I always loved doing that at school. It was so different, because I guess my focus is very much on the science and maths area. So to me, that was kind of a totally different world, and I still enjoy watching Shakespeare plays.
Yeah. Well, human behavior, and I worked at the Idaho National Engineering Lab. I think we had 42 nuclear reactors. So, you know, I rubbed shoulders with 10,000 nuclear engineers and physicists and all kinds of scientists. And the CEO one day called me and said, I need you to go out to the site, interview some folks. You know, we're kind of in trouble with the Department of Energy. We've had some nuclear leaks. Not a good thing. And I will never forget sitting across the table from these young, they called them experimental power reactor operators, XPROs. And they were like 28-year-olds, and this one kid said to me, you know, I don't need to follow the manual. I used to run a nuclear sub. And I remember thinking, I need to get out of here, move to another state. And I met with the CEO, and he said to me, you know, should we shut it down? And I had this kind of dagger to the heart thinking, you know, sir, you're the engineer, nuclear physicist. I would have hoped you would know the answer.
Yeah.
So, but engineering only takes you so far. And the one denominator that you can't really figure out all the time is the human factor. So I love math and you know, science as well, but really decided if I was going to get on in the world, I'd better figure out human behavior a bit.
that's a fascinating story, because I'm very process focused, even in business processes, and I always face the challenge of, well, we don't need to follow the process, we know what we're doing, kind of story. It's good to tell that one about the nuclear reactor.
And you know who solved the problem with that was a janitor. It was a janitor. It wasn't the high-powered consultants to come in, and it just shows how important it is. I mean, Jack Welch says, get better reality. And the way for us as individuals and businesses is, you know, you've got to talk to people. because we all have this blind spot. And you know, finally, when you get a little older in life, you get brave to ask people for some criticism or to help you get better, realizing, you know, you need to make that a smaller blind spot so you can grow.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So is there something that worries you and keeps you awake at night?
You know, when I was younger, I worried that the world was going to come to an end. I've worried a bit about the Middle East.
Yeah.
I've finally given up, decided the world will never have peace because of humans. And I think Thomas Jefferson said, you know, we won't be angels until we sprout wings. You know, I worried a lot about poverty and trying to make things better in the world. And I'm actually thrilled with Web 3.0. I mean, you and I talking on Skype across continents. And so with Web 3.0, crowdfunding, which is making money available, and this new movement towards relationships and strategic networking, I think we're going to see an unleashing of innovation like we have never seen. And I've been watching this for, you know, 5 or 6 years. So I'm very excited about that. And I think it will solve many of the things that have kept me awake at night.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that'll with the technology, the pace of innovation is like increasing exponentially. It's quite amazing, as you say, and let's hope that, you know, some of those problems there's actually will be a positive change, accelerated.
Yeah.
We move forward. Yeah. Because I read a post this morning, and it's kind of, you know, frustrating. Like you say, you worry about these things, but you feel a little bit helpless. You know, I read a post this morning about the young schoolgirls that were abducted, must be 18 months ago now in Nigeria, and how, you know, the world's kind of put that on the back burner. It's kind of gone out of the news, which is a bit unfortunate. You think that's, you know, that things like that can happen today are just awful. And you think, well, what, you know, how can we affect change so that that sort of thing isn't happening?
Yeah, that thing's always, it always troubled me, the Holocaust. I mean, I was horrified. I can remember as a kid watching those things on TV, but I finally figured out I couldn't save the world. But I could do the best I could with the gifts I had, you know, and I think we all come to the earth with gifts. And I think if we, you know, all do our best, we end up helping one way or the other. I mean, it's just like networking. You never know that string of paying it forward, of just helping one person or doing a book, helping grow a business, that I think it all helps.
Yeah, great advice. So what do you see as the biggest challenges in your business?
You know, the biggest one for me, honestly, is trying to figure out how to get the message out. You know, here I am, the publisher said, you know, I was from the Midwest. I'm from the West. You know, it turns out that if you're not on the East Coast or the West Coast, you know, you're you know, kind of in the middle. And so it's been a bit of a challenge to build a platform. I didn't know what a platform was. After I signed the contract with McGraw-Hill, I'm like, what's a platform? And then I had to, you know, do media interviews. Well, I didn't know anybody. And I was so tickled, the first blogger that interviewed me, I made homemade fudge and sent it to him as a thank you. And now I have the candy list. But, you know, it turns out, and, you know, I don't know whether you studied Buckminster Fuller, but he had what was known as the corridor principle, that you see this long hall and all these doors, and the ones you go and try to open, of course, won't open. And it's like another quote, that you must shake the apple tree hard to get the apples, but it's never the tree you shake they fall from. And so it's been a little bit of a challenge for me to get the word out, but thankfully I'm blessed with people like you who will interview me and help get the word out about my book.
Yeah, that's great. Well, glad we can help. And I'm sure the audience will be fascinated and looking forward to reading it.
Thanks.
If they haven't already done so. I mean, some of them may well have read it. Talking about books, have you read any other interesting books lately? You've quoted a lot of different things here. Is there something else that is on your reading list right now?
You know, I had the pleasure of meeting Adam Franklin from Australia. Well, not meeting him like we are. And he has a great little book out on e-marketing, everything to do with marketing on the web. The one that I'm still reading is How to Teach Your Children Shakespeare. I found that one really fascinating. So those are the two I try to do, one that's really related to business and what I'm doing, and then something else is just totally out of what I would normally read. And I find those on C-SPAN. You know, I watch the book, the new authors and books coming out. And then the other thing I do is I hang out frequently at the bookstore, and I always go look at the new books and just kind of browse, just serendipitous, you know, looking for something that I probably wouldn't have found.
Yeah. So you still have bookstores in the US? I remember.
Oh, yes.
I remember going over there, and I was fascinated by these large bookstores. I used to spend hours in there, and unless you go into right into the middle of the big cities, they've kind of vanished.
Really?
Local bookstores. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of them have shut down here because of Amazon. But Barnes and Noble is still very much alive and kicking, and I probably know where. I know where all the major ones in all the major cities, but particularly, you know, New York, Boston, D.C., and San Francisco and L.A. But they're even in Maui. I went to Maui to give a speech in December, and sure enough, there's actually a Barnes & Noble in Maui, which is a pretty small town.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like I say, I always love to go into those big bookstores. I go, wow, this is huge. I'd sort of spend, if I had a day off on a weekend, if I found a bookstore early in the morning, that'd be the day gone for me.
Yeah, me as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to what I call the buzz, which is our innovation round. So it's a series of six questions, I think, that hopefully you'll have a very quick answer for to inspire our audience.
Okay.
And the first one is, what do you think is the number one thing anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
Get out of their box, read widely and diverse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great advice. So get out of the comfort zone and
just
learning. Yeah. All right. Now, what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
You know, I'm a voracious reader, so I do that on purpose to develop input, and then I talk to a lot of people. I also get a few top newsletters. I like to read McKinsey. I like to read Quartz, which is something that comes, you know, every day. I'll send you one so you can post it in the notes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that'll be good. Yeah, we'll link to all the things we spoke about anyway, but yeah, that'll be great. What about, I think I might know the answer to this, favorite tool for or system to keep track of things, productivity and innovation?
You know, I've struggled with that one, and I finally talked to a woman who's an expert on organization, and she said, Judy, there isn't just one system. So I was relieved because I kept trying to find something that I could keep my notes and my calendar. And so I typically have all contacts on Outlook, but, you know, I've got an iPad, I have a Mac, and I have a Windows-based system, too, trying to sync them all. I actually use Evernote. I use Dropbox. I have folders, so I'll go to the bookstore, write notes, or take a picture with my cell phone and tag things so that I can find them, because that's ideas are important to me, people are important to me, so I've kind of got some systems in my book. And it's on my website. I've got, you know, some free downloads that you can do just an Excel spreadsheet that are pretty simple.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, so a combination of systems. And yeah, Evernote's great. I love Evernote. So obviously.
And Viper, the little contact manager Viper is great and has, you know, pictures of people, and you can put people in your orbits. And so you can search and say, I'm going to Chicago, send out a message. Hey, I'll be in Chicago. Want to go to dinner. It's a pretty slick little system.
Okay, I'll have to have a look at that one. I don't know that one.
Yeah.
All right. So what do you think is the best way to keep a client or a project on track?
You know, for me, it is being accountable, realizing that, you know, I need to stay on top of things and talk to them, be as transparent as I can. You know, if I anticipate or I feel I have an intuition that there may be an issue, you know, it's important for me to find out, to make sure everything is on track.
Okay, so transparency and communication sort of.
Yes, yeah.
All right, and what do you think is the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
You know, that would probably depend on what you're good at, but just, you know, I'll just tell you, probably 98% of the people don't get back when you call them. They don't respond to emails. They, you know, just things that are really simple. Like I mentioned my candy list. When I sent the candy to the reporter, she called me on the phone and said 95% of the people don't even bother saying thank you, yeah, let alone doing some small gesture. So now I have the candy list. I mean, you do something simple. I spoke at USA Today's headquarters in DC on Friday, and Politics and Prose, which is a very famous independent bookstore in DC, Obama, President Obama shops there. They ran out of my book. My book sold out, and I was really tickled. And I went up afterward and just thanked them. And the woman said to me, what are you doing on May 16th? And I knew the right answer was nothing. And she said, would you like to be our featured business book at the Gaithersburg Independent Book Festival? So I'm, you know, I say to people, be gracious, say thank you. Yeah. You know, go out of your way to do some little thing. You'll get back to people. You'll be in the upper 5%.
Hmm. Yeah, that's great advice. Somebody I know once said, the fortune is in the follow-up. So I don't know who that quote yeah. was actually the yeah. original from, but I thought that's great.
Yeah. yeah. Hmm. And, you know, sometimes I find that people are just afraid. It isn't so much that they're procrastinating. You know, people will say to me, what do I say? And I just say, thank you for taking time to meet with me. It was wonderful to talk to you. You know, we always connect on a personal level. So, you know, talk about the dog, the cat, the kids, your health, you know, be real, be you, be real.
Yeah, that's great advice. Yeah, thanks. All right. So what's on the cards for you then in the future? You talked about a second book, perhaps.
Yeah, and I don't know what that's going to be. I'm going to develop this training on funding. You know, I meet people all the time. Just a short story. I was introduced to a woman in Park City, Utah, who developed a medical device. Brilliant, very simple. She tried to find funding for 8 years. Within 6 months, I had helped her find $500,000, and the company sold for millions. And so that's a project that's near and dear to my heart. I just became friends with Jack Canfield. He spoke where I did. I may be doing something with him. And then I was asked to be an advisor to a new TV series called Girl Starter that will be about teen girls starting companies. And I'm just really excited about that. Mark Burnett endorsed my book. His production company is going to take a look at it. So knock on wood that they'll do that. And, you know, I love to teach, love to help.
Yeah. Some exciting things coming up. We'll keep in touch and stay tuned. Yeah.
Yeah, when I come to Australia, I'd love to meet. And so Adam Franklin, who interviewed me, sent me a box of Tim Tams. Oh my gosh, where have I? They have been all my life.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about how we love Germany. Tim Tams are right up there.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, you'll have to call down our neck of the woods when you are in Australia, because it's quite beautiful down here as well. All right, well, let's move on to our competition now. So as I said earlier, the prize is today courtesy of Judy. She's offered to donate copies of her book, How to Be a Power Connector, and it's subtitled The 550-100 Rule. And you can read a lot more about what Judy's spoken about today and shared with us. And I just wrote a quote down here that I'm going to read it, and it's from no less than Ivan Meisner, who's the founder and chairman of BNI, Business Networking International. So I thought, well, you know, if somebody like that is endorsing your book, it must be really good. So he said, how to be a power connector is like an MBA in networking. It can make the biggest difference in your professional success. So that's our prize today. And Judy, what do we want our audience to do for that? Leave a comment underneath the video.
I'd love to hear your struggles with networking, or tell me of some lucky break. So, you know, most things in life happen because we work hard, but the second one is luck, and you can create luck how you position yourself. And so, you know, if you've got any great lucky stories of what one door being opened, what, you know, one person did for you, I would love to hear those, and we'll incorporate them into my talks.
Okay. That's great. Thanks, Judy. So, yeah, leave a comment under the video and I'll get Judy to come by in a few weeks' time and take a look and award the prize to the contribution she thinks is most worthy.
Yeah, and we'll do 5 of them.
That's fantastic. Yeah, so leave a lot of comments. Lots of people leave comments. Okay, so Judy, what's the number one piece of advice you'd give anybody that wants to be a leader in their business, particularly in the area of innovation?
You know, it is stay out in front. So there's a lot to be said for keeping track of trends, but there's also a lot to be said of scenario planning out. And one of the best things I learned when I worked at the Idaho National Engineering Lab, we had to take this program called KT, and it was Kepner-Trago. Mm-hmm. Kepner-Trago were two consultants that went to Rand Corporation when they were almost bankrupt, and they found everything they were doing was wrong. And I'd never thought of this, but you know, if something happened in the past time frame, it's a mistake, it's problems, which requires different tools than a decision that's made today in the present, which is very different in planning in the future. And we had to do this thing called a tripwire, like when would we anticipate a problem coming up? And we actually had to just brainstorm all the wild things that might happen and put a column of the probability of it happening, just low, medium, and high. And then the seriousness, low, medium, high, and then kind of pick where it was. And so I found out that it was important to build in those scenarios. And some of them you can't tell, like black swan, but many of them you can. And this is from getting insight from advisors and asking people. Great new book out is called Anticipate. And actually, I think it's written by an Australian that I like. So I think it's important to keep on top of trends, really good, get good input, look at best practices, but also go with your gut. I can't think back in my life how many times, particularly when I was younger, I was thinking, oh, something doesn't make sense there, or maybe we ought to do this. And it turned out it was right. And I don't know how it was right. But so listen to yourself.
Yeah, that's great advice. So I've done a lot of Kepner-Trago work in my corporate life, so I'm sort of quite familiar with that tool. So I will put a link to that under the show notes as well. And also, what's the book you mentioned?
Anticipate.
Who's the author?
You know, I don't know, but I'll look it up.
Okay.
But brilliant. I just glanced through it. I've ordered it. Brilliant. And I think it's from a fellow Aussie.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll dig that out and put a link to that one in the show notes as well. So, Judy, this has been fascinating. Where can people reach out and say thank you for what you've shared with us today?
You know, feel free to reach out on Twitter. It's just at Judy Robinette, no E on the end. Mm-hmm. I'm on LinkedIn. I have a website, you know, www.judyrobinette.com.
Yeah.
And you can email me, judy@judyrobinette.com. I love to hear stories and, you know, happy to answer questions and to be helpful.
Okay. Well, there you are. There's a lot of places we can reach out to Judy. And again, we'll post all those links in the show notes. So finally, who would you like me to interview in future on the InnovaBuzz podcast, and why?
You know, I would say Jack Canfield, who I'd be happy to introduce you to, and he is remarkable. Yeah. I mean, he changed, talk about innovation, the book publishing, his series on Chicken Soup for the Soul have sold 500 million copies.
Yeah.
So he works with some of the top, you know, companies out there. Great guy, you know, Success Principles, one of the best books I used to read, and it's its 10th anniversary. I think he would be great for you.
That's great.
And your listeners.
Yeah.
And I'll do that within 5 minutes.
Okay. I really appreciate that, Judy. Thank you. Now, you notice that I've actually taken your advice on that question. That's the second one of the questions you proposed. But I was doing that before I had read about your advice. I must have inherited that from somewhere through osmosis.
Could be.
All right. Well, it's been a real privilege to have you on the podcast, Judy. Thank you so much for your time and sharing your information and insights with us. And I'll keep in touch. We'll look at the contributions and award those prizes. And I look forward to keeping in touch with you on an ongoing basis.
You as well. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, what an inspiring interview with so many valuable tips and insights. I hope you enjoyed meeting Judy as much as I did and learned lots from that interview. Now, all the show notes for this episode will be at innovabiz.com.au/Judy Robinette. That is JudyRobinette. All lowercase, all one word, no fancy characters or spaces, innovabiz.com.au/Judy Robinette. So we have listed there all the links and the resources and everything that we spoke about in the episode, including a full transcript for those that prefer reading. And remember to leave your comments underneath the video for your chance to win a copy of Judy's book, How to Be a Power Connector. And there are, in fact, 5 copies available. So your chances are really good. Leave your comments and tell Judy about your struggles with networking, or tell her about any stories of how you've had one door being opened or one person do something for you that actually transformed your life or business. I'll get Judy to swing by in a couple of weeks and pick the prize winners. Now, Judy suggested I interview Jack Canfield, who would be familiar to everyone on this podcast, I imagine. He's the author of the book series called Chicken Soup for the Soul, and also the book Success Principles, which has just been republished, I believe. So, Jack, keep an eye out on your inbox for an invitation to join me on the InnovaBuzz podcast, and I'm really looking forward to that. Now, I'd like to thank you all for listening or viewing the InnovaBuzz podcast. We really appreciate that you take the time to join us here, and we love you to review this podcast because reviews help us to get better and improve, and it also helps us to rank better. So head on over to iTunes or to Stitcher and leave your feedback and comments there. And while you're there, subscribe so that you never miss a future episode. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and remember, if you don't innovate, you stagnate. So think big, be adventurous, and keep on innovating.